Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that you are here in the secret, in the quiet place, in our hearts, Lord. And Father, we pray that we would hold you there and that you would hold us in your hand and that we would be strong, that we would trust, and that we'd know your mercy and grace, Lord, endures forever and ever and ever. And Lord, we don't even know what that means, forever, but Lord, we're excited about spending it with you, Lord. And so, Father, we pray tonight, without exception, that you would speak into the quiet places of our heart and that we would come alive. Lord, more alive than we were yesterday. Father God, responding to you, Holy Spirit, and Lord, walking in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Good evening. It's great to have you all here. I got a couple of quick announcements. First of all, if you're interested in becoming an usher, or if you have experience in the medical field, please take a moment to meet with Jess or Sean or any one of the ushers. They'll get you connected because we'd love to have you as a part of our team. Also, we're going to try. We only have, I think, 8 or 9 people signed up for OMC. That's our children's church outreach. We're going to try another meeting this Sunday, and that'll determine whether we are going to go ahead and have the OMC or not. So pray about it. Pray if God is leading you in that direction. We'll see. Also, one last thing. Right after service, we are going to have to move all the chairs out of here and all the stuff in the nursing mother's room, because Friday we're having the carpets cleaned. They need it. So, yeah, woohoo, clean carpets, yeah. So if you're able to help, that would be awesome. It'll help it go by much quicker. So right after service, and I'll remind you at the end of service, we're going to take all the chairs into the sanctuary and the couches and all that stuff out of there. So if you're able body and you'd like to help, we could use the help. That would be great. All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Esther chapter 4. I was going to try and do 2 chapters, but I gave up. I said, can't do it. Nah. Wouldn't be prudent. So if you need a Bible, the ushers will be more than happy to put one in your hand so that you can follow along. That's always a good thing, following along. All right. But what I want to do real quick is I'm going to read a verse. We're going to read it now, and then we're going to come back to it at the end of this sermon, and it might have a greater impact in your heart when we read it the second time. But we're going to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. And listen to it. You're probably very familiar with it. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So, you know, there's that prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer is just to pray, and supplication means that heartfelt humbling before God during your prayer. And then, of course, thanksgiving. For what? That God will answer your prayers. And then it says, let your request be made known to who? To God. So I've entitled our message, what is your request? And you'll see why as we move through Esther chapter 4. So let's pick it up in verse 1 and we'll get a flavor of what's been going on. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ash, and went into the midst of the city, and he cried out. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Now, What did he hear about? Well, let's remember. He heard about Haman, how Haman now wants to have every single Jew killed. Basically, genocide. Now, if you remember, if you turn back one chapter, we'll do this very quickly. We'll just look at a couple of verses. Esther chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 2, verse 5, and verse 8. In verse 2, it says, "And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow or pay homage." So everyone, absolutely everyone in vicinity basically bowed down before Haman, but Mordecai would not. He's a good Jewish man. He realizes that you only bow down to God. But then jump down to verse 5, and it says, "When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down and pay homage, Haman was filled with wrath." So Haman, he's very arrogant. He's very wealthy. He's got some power, and he's close to the king. And you would think he'd go, well, you know, it's just some Jewish guy. He doesn't have any clout. He's a nobody. He won't. And everyone else is bowing down, but he's so prideful, he needs everyone's. He needs everyone to bow down before him in order to appease his pride. And so instead of being thankful that the mass multitude, he is just livid over one Jewish man who will not. Jump down to verse 8. "Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus," which is Xerxes, from 300, if you weren't here, the movie 300 depicts him pretty well. "Then Haman said to Xerxes," or King Ahasuerus, "There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all the people, other peoples. They have their own set of rules. They don't live by our rules. And they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it's not fitting for the king to let them remain." Listen, come here, kingy. They're not going to bow. They don't bow down to me. They're not going to bow down to you. They have a higher king. Yes, we do. And so he says, listen, you can't have that. You cannot have dissension within your kingdom. So the best thing for you to do, kingy, is kill him. And guess what? I will put money towards it. And so Mordecai gets word that a decree is given out, a decree to kill all the Jews because of Mordecai. And so when he hears this, he is tore up from the floor up. He feels responsible, and in a way he is. However, what he is doing is right. He should not bow down to men, should not succumb to something that would violate God's law. You and I, same thing. We do not bow down to men. We bow down to the living, loving God that we serve. So Mordecai, he hears, listen, all the Jews are going to die. And listen, when a decree is given in a Persian kingdom, it stands. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. "And he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ash." So he rips his sleeves. Even to this day, a Jew will do that when they are torn to the heart. It's like you're ripping their honor from them. "But the sackcloth and ash," that's a common phrase if you're a Bible student. Sackcloth was a coarse material. I often say it's like putting on a burlap. What I mean by that, it's not burlap. It's actually goat hair. Goat hair is very different than sheep's wool. It's very thick and it's kind of pokey, and you would put the hair on the inside so that it would scratch you and itch you and just make you horribly uncomfortable, like putting on a burlap sack. It's very itchy and it's not good. You ever pick up burlap sacks and you get that, you know, all the residue on you? It's just like fiberglass. It's not good. So here is made out of, and usually it was black goat's hair. It was depicting that, you know, you're in mourning. Quite uncomfortable to wear. Hey, even more uncomfortable in a dry, arid desert type situation. Could you imagine on a summer day wearing a black goat-haired suit out in the street? Yeah, you get the idea. The ash signified desolation and ruin, and they would take ash. If they didn't have ash, they'd just grab a handful of dirt and pour it on their head as if to say, bury me now. I'm as good as dead. So together, these two ideas of putting ash on you and the goat hair, it's like saying it symbolizes being debased and mourning, and sometimes it even meant repentant. You're just broken before God. You're just like, I'm not even worthy to come into your presence. And by the way, that should be how we respond to God when we have sin. Too often, I think, we think that sin is just something that, you know, God kind of winks at. It's like, oh, you know, you did bad and kind of wink. No, we should be broken and mourning over our sin. So Mordecai, I just found out that because of him, all the Jews are going to be wiped out. But notice this. He doesn't recant. He doesn't recant. He doesn't drop to his knees and begin to beg. Haman, please don't do this. Okay, I'll kneel before you. He doesn't do it. He's got morals. He's got scruples. He understands. He understands that he has to stand before God. Besides all that, he knows it wouldn't make a difference. Why? Because in the Persian Empire, when they made a decree, that decree was to stick. They didn't change their mind normally. So he cries out with a loud and bitter cry. He doesn't grovel. He cries out. Now, he's crying out to God. It's really what he's doing. Because he's not groveling, he's not trying to give people sympathy. Listen, sympathy won't save lives. And we'll talk about that in a little more detail. He's crying out. He wants God to hear him. He's going before God, broken, humbled. He's making his requests be made known to God. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. What is it that's heavy on your heart, and what is your request to God? Are you crying out to God? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Verse 2. And he went as far as the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. You couldn't go into the king's area if you had on sackcloth. Listen, the king didn't want mourning. He didn't want any mourning or crying or weeping. He's a party king. He really is. He likes to get drunk. He likes to fool around with girls. He's a party guy. He doesn't want someone, you know, he's probably one of these guys that would put up a sign outside and say, only positive vibes. Only positive. By the way, I'm going to share with you one of my pet peeves and my wife's pet peeves. When someone on Facebook, and by the way, can I encourage you, we shouldn't air our private lives on Facebook. That's not a good idea. You know, I like when people say, hey, pray for, you know, just pray. And everyone's like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? They just pray. You know, God knows. That's cool. But when it's like, yeah, you know, this one person did that. It's like, that's gossip. It's not good. Well, I'm asking for prayer. Yeah, but you're letting the cat out of the bag and people are going to run with it. But it really bugs me and my wife when someone will be going through a hard time and somebody, you know, people say, I'll pray for you. And someone out there will say, sending positive vibes. It's like sending positive vibes. Is there an app for that? There's a positive vibe sender. And by the way, if you send me positive vibes, how will I know when those vibes arrive? How much does a vibe cost? Do you get them by the dozen? I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking this. If it costs you to send vibes, might it be better just to send them money? That's positive. Listen, don't send people positive vibes. Send people prayer. Why? Well, because James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says this. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. If you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayers of a righteous person, listen to this, has power to produce wonderful results. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been serving the Lord for 30 years. I have seen answered prayer after answered prayer after answered prayer after answered prayer. Not on my timing or their timing, but always in God's timing. And it's always the right timing. So listen, when people send that, now I'm not saying to jump on there, how dare you send vibes? And you know, it's like, I don't even know what a vibe is. So I just know it's not prayers. So it has no effect. It's like saying, I'm sending you unicorns. It's like, that's why would you do that? They're not real. I don't know. It's like, listen, send prayers. Christians, send prayers. But if you do ask for prayer, don't air your dirty laundry or someone else's dirty laundry. Just say, hey, just prayer. God will sort it out. Verse 3. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews. Yeah. Look, if we got a note that said that the government said everyone in America who carries a Bible is going to be beheaded tomorrow, we'd be mourning. That's kind of a scary thought. Yes, going to heaven, but I don't want to see while I'm waiting in line, you know, some of you that I love getting your heads cut off. That's a horrible thing. So they all start mourning. Yeah. With fasting and weeping and wailing, and many laid in sackcloth and ashes. So they're weeping, they're fasting, they're crying out incredibly loud. Listen, when they're crying out, they're not just crying out because they've got nothing better to do. They're not being dramatic either. They're doing it because they are truly broken. Their family, their children, their loved ones, all of the Jews, they don't care about age. They don't care about your position. They're saying, if you're Jewish, you're gone. I love Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me and I will answer you and show great and mighty things which you do not know. You know what that is saying, by the way? There are times when I cry out to God because I don't know what to do. I'm in a situation, and I'm like, God, I don't know how to deal with this. And all of a sudden, God will enlighten me with information to help me deal with the situation. It is awesome. Here's the thing, though. Who are you crying out to? What is your request? We must put our requests before God, not before Facebook. We need to put our requests before God, not before our banker or our landlord or our boss. Or a grandma, or a brother and sister, we need to go to God first. Or how about Psalm 107, verse 28 through 30? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Listen, God, if God calls you to it, God is going to get you through it. Do you understand? If God calls you to something, don't go, oh God, you abandoned me. If God saved you, he didn't save you so that you will drown. He saved you so you will be successful I'm not talking about successful in business or successful in this or that. Successful in bringing him glory if you will just trust him through your trial. Absolutely imperative. Sackcloth and ashes, they're itchy, they're scratchy, they're hair. Listen, if you're in sackcloth and ashes, there are no good vibes. Hey, you got sackcloth and ashes. Yeah, I'm feeling some vibes. No, you ain't. You're feeling itchy and you're broken. They're falling at the feet of a merciful God. That's what we should do. Let me ask you. Do you cry out to God? Do you seek God with all your heart? And some people say yes. Well, I've shared this before. I'm going to share it again. I'll probably share it a million times more because it's powerful. We were at the men's retreat. We had a group of guys. There was like five or six groups of guys. And I happened to be in this group of guys. And I asked a question. I said, hey, guys, what does it mean to cry out to God? What does it mean to seek God with all your heart? And this guy answered, and that guy answered, and that guy answered. And then one guy chimed in. And he says, you know, when I think about crying out to God, when I think about seeking him with all of my heart, he goes, this is what I picture. And it's kind of morbid, but think about this. He says, you ever see a dog get hit by a car? You ever see how they cry and they scream? It's like they just want the pain to end and they don't know where the pain comes from. They don't know how to stop it. They're just crying out for something to stop it. He goes, that's what it's supposed to be like when we cry out to God. The dogs in the street, when they get hit, they're not worried about if someone's going to look at them. They're just crying out because it hurts so bad. Mordecai, look what it says in verse 1. It says, he went out in the midst of the city, like on the curb, on the side, like he's been hit by a car. And he cried out loud and a bitter cry. Mordecai doesn't care who sees him. Mordecai, he's just crying out. He just wants the pain to stop. He just wants God to answer. Brothers and sisters, do we go before God like that? Just broken and going, God, you're the only solution to my situation. Because if not, then what is your request? If you got an issue, what other option is there? It certainly isn't good vibes. I'm not going to let that go, by the way. Verse 4. So Esther's maid, the eunuch, came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Now, she's distressed. She is. She's upset. Why? Because Uncle Mordecai is out in the wearing a black goat-haired suit with ashes on his head, and he's crying out in the middle of the street. But she doesn't understand the full weight yet. How do I know? Because look at her next response. And she sent garments of clothes to Mordecai and takes his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. She's like, look, just take these clothes, really fancy, Gucci, Armani, something fancy. It'll cheer him up, right? Hey, who doesn't get cheered up by a pair of new shoes? You put on new shoes, you feel kind of happy. You got happy feet. She's like, let's give him a new suit. He'll look good. But he didn't want it. Listen, you ever have your life rocked to the core? Someone giving you a new jacket, don't you go, oh, it's all better now. I'm happy. No. Nothing cheers you up when you're truly broken. You know, that dog that got hit by the car that's yiping, if you go give them a treat, they don't even want the treat. They can't think treat. Any other time, the dog would be tickle pink. At that time, the dog just wants the pain to go away. Listen, folks, there are times when people around us are hurting, really hurting. And sometimes we come and we want to give them solutions to their hurt. Stop it. Sometimes there's a time to mourn. There's a time to just sit down with them. Maybe it's a time that you should even cry with them. Maybe feel their broken heart. And because you love them, let your heart be broken as well. Yeah, I think of Job's friends, right? Job loses everything. His friends are sitting there, and for a while, they're just quiet, sitting with him on the ground, crying. They join him in his mourning, and they are the best friends he could possibly have until they open their mouth. Do you realize, as Christians, that's the same problem we have sometimes? Sometimes our friends are hurting. Maybe we should just go and sit with them and be with them and let them cry. Let them cry on our shoulder, but not try to have all the answers. I struggle from that sometimes. And then I have to be reminded, you know what? Nothing I'm going to say, even if it's laced full of scripture, is going to make up for the hurt that they have. And I've gone and told people, listen, I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what to tell you other than the Lord loves you and I love you. And here, let me give you a hug. Because it's hard. It's hard. So evidently, they simply told her that Mordecai was upset, he was mourning, and they hadn't given her the full list of ramifications. Oh, by the way, Queen Esther, all of the Jews are going to be wiped out, every single one. Oh, by the way, we're going to find this out. When they find out that she's a Jew, they probably want to kill her too. Because we're going to see that Esther's tune is going to change after she gets all the evidence. Watch. Verse 5. And Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who he had appointed to attend to her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. See, she doesn't know all the details. She goes, look, find out why he won't I just sent him some Armani suit, and he won't receive it. What's going on here? What's the real problem? Why is he like this? So what does that tell us? That tells us a few things. One, that evidently it was spoken of all over the provinces. Why? All the Jews know about it, but evidently it wasn't spoken of in the palace. And if it was spoken of in the palace, evidently the queen is in isolation. And I think that's more likely, and you're going to see why. We get a little clue here that she was probably in isolation. Not like she's been punished or anything, but just that when you're the queen of someone like Xerxes, you just stay in your room and maybe walk around the palace, but pretty lonely, very, very lonely. Watch verse 6. So Hathach went to Mordecai in the city square that was found at the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. Now, we just real quick, go back to the previous chapter, chapter 3, verse 9 of Esther. Look what it says. If it please the king, this is Haman talking to Xerxes. If it please the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, annihilated, wiped out, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver. That would be equivalent to $30 million. So this Haman, he's got some cash. He's a rich guy. If he can spend $30 million to wipe out a people, he obviously has way more than that. Into the hands of those who do the work, to bring it into the king's treasury. So in other words, king, first of all, these people, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to bow down. They're not going to follow your decrees. They have their own law. So you don't want them around. And I don't want them around. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do, king. I'm going to subsidize this. I'm going to give you $30 million. It'll go in your treasury so that you can have these guys go and do this work. And it's all good. Listen, the king doesn't need his $30 million. That's chump change to Xerxes. He doesn't need any more money. This is blood money. But see, this is demonic in spirit. Remember, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It's not the root of all evil. Money is not evil. Money is just something. Money is something that can be useful to God and can be useful to the devil. In this case, the devil's using it. He's using pride, money, and position to do what? To wipe out the Jews. That's Haman's request. You see, you and I can have two types of requests. Do you realize that? I can make godly requests, and I can make ungodly requests. I can justify my godly requests, and I can try and justify my ungodly requests, and sometimes it's even convincing. Not just to me, but to others. We must be careful. Here, Haman, his request is wipe out the Jews. Why? Well, king, man, you think about it. And just to make it easy for you, I'll pay for it. Wow. Verse 8. He also gave a copy of the written decree of their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go into the king and make supplication to him and plead before the people for her people. Plead before him for her people. Now, I get the sense, and I hope you do too, as I read this, and we're going to get the sense that he's seeing God's providential hand in having Esther as the queen. I'm sure he didn't like it at the time. Remember, he's pacing, going, what's happening to Esther? And of course, it's a big old 7-8 foot creepy dude who thinks he's God that's going around molesting teenage girls, and now she's going to end up marrying this guy. Yeah, you'd be pretty upset too, but here he's going, wait a minute, wait. She's in a position where she could possibly influence the king on our behalf. That is the only way that anything's going to work out. We'll see in a statement that he's going to make later that he's thinking, God planned this out, didn't he? You're going to see that in a minute. So I get the impression he's starting to, the light's coming on. Why? Well, he's doing something to humble himself. And when we humble ourselves, God speaks. And I'll show you in a minute. But God always has a plan. Listen, what's your request right now in your life? What is it that's bugging you? Because I guarantee you, there's not a person in here that doesn't have something nibbling at your peace and your joy. Some of you have little tiny fish nibbling. Some of you have big old sharks. Dun, 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 dun. It's like it's catching up to me. God always has a plan. We always have to cry out to God. The Lord Jesus, someone said this, the Lord Jesus took our place so that we might have his peace. The Lord Jesus took our sin so that we might have his salvation. I love that. I love that. See, Jesus wants to give you his peace, but he won't force it upon you. So when those things come upon you, it behooves you and I to make our requests known to God, not to mankind. But here we see that Satan also has requests. Listen, whether it was Pharaoh, Haman, Herod, Hitler, or the future Antichrist, all Satan wants to do is wipe out the Jews, because he knows he can't wipe God out. So maybe by wiping out the Jews, that'll hurt God, because they are the apple of his eye. And Satan's like, ooh, I want to poke you in the eye. Bing, 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 bing. That's what he wants to do. But of course, he can't win. God will always come through in the end. God is faithful always. Folks, you've got something nibbling at your life. God is faithful.
Always.
God is faithful.
Always.
Always. Does that mean, well, except this time? No, God is faithful.
Always.
Hey, how about this? God is good all the time and all the time.
Always.
Just a little bit good? Always good, a lot of good. No, he's right. I'm with you. It's kind of hard sometimes to find the words to describe that God is faithful always. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But we forget. Why do we forget? Because there's this big monster, Xerxes, 7 foot tall. He's king. He thinks he's God. There's Haman. He's rich. He's got power. He can pay for all this. But God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And he is faithful always. When things don't look good, it's time to cry out and make your requests known. So tonight, what is your request? Let it be known to God. And maybe it doesn't respond right now, but he will come through every single time, just not on our timing. Verse 9. Then Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province. Let me pray a second. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for tonight. I just pray that your word would fall on fertile hearts. And that we would respond the way you'd want us to respond to your word, to honor your word, and to live by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province, know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death. Except the one whom the king holds out his golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself, look. Have not been called to go to the king these 30 days. Okay, here's what she says. Mordecai, I hear you. You're asking me to go talk to the king, to her husband, by the way, on behalf of the Jews. But if anyone just goes and says, hey, king, I want ear, they would die. That's the law. That's the Persian law. The only ones who could come and talk to the king are the ones that he requests to come. Even the queen, she hasn't seen her husband in 30 days. Wow. Here you go. I'll let you guess and figure out what he's been doing to satiate his needs for these 30 days. You figure it out. He's depraved. He's heartless. So a Persian queen lived a very lonely life. She could only see the king if he called her. And listen, he has a huge harem, so, you know, she's just eye candy. She's just there so he can say he has a queen. Yeah, he only has one queen, but he has a lot of playthings. However, Esther is a woman. She's a smart woman. And you women have your ways, don't you? She has her ways. And we're going to see. Not only does she have her ways, she also has the Lord's favor. And God has put her in this position for a reason. Verse 12. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther. So they told Mordecai, listen, the queen hasn't seen her husband in 30 days. She can't go and talk to him unless he calls for her. So I know you want her to go and talk to him, but she'll be dead meat. So Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do you not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews? Hey, they're going to kill all the Jews. That's a Persian decree as well. So if the Persian decree is that you can't go to the king unless he asks for you, well, guess what? The Persian law also states that if a decree is given, that stands. So once they find out you're a Jew, and they will, guess who's going to die also? Four, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance, look, will arise for the Jews from some from another place. He's saying, look, Esther, I get it. You're scared. But if you stay quiet, God is going to raise somewhere that there's going to be some relief. Shouldn't it be you? Watch this. This is so cool. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. There's that statement. That's like the whole statement of Esther. Anyone thinks of Esther, they always think for such a time as this. What he's saying is, hey, girl. Not quite saying, hey, girl. He's saying, listen, don't you see God's providence in this? You just so happen to be a Jew. You just so happen to be a queen. Queen Vashti gets kicked out. You get put in. Look, if I know it was an ordeal for you, but if nothing good comes out of this, maybe God will use you to save your people for such a time as this. Now, we sit here and we think, she better speak up for her family, right? Their lives are counting on it. Her life will be on the line, yes, but isn't it worth it? Her life for the life of all? Yet, as we sit here thinking that about Esther, yet so many in the church won't even speak to their own families to save them. But Pastor Randy, you don't know. They'll get mad. They'll oust me. Well, they're not going to kill you, are they? Well, no. So you preserve your life while you watch their lives go down the drain. Maybe you're saved by the King of Kings, but they're not. And what are you doing to save their life? Well, I talked to them once. Really? That's what you would do? I often say this, if your neighbor's house was on fire and it's in the middle of the night and they're in there sleeping, you're going to go, hello, you might want to wake up. You're going to die. No, you break the window. You kick in the door. Honk your horn. You're not going, well, if I wake them up, they might be upset. And yet, that's how so many people treat your family members that you say we love. I love my family members. Well, do you tell them? Well, no, I don't want to upset them. Oh, then sure, by all means, let them go to hell. That'll be far more comforting for them. Here's what 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24 says. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. Your family members? Well, some of my family members, they are so sinful, Pastor Randy. Yeah. Declare your works amongst the heathen. That's what you would have said about me. A thief, violent, vulgar, pothead, alcoholic, meth dealer. I was vile. But someone loved me enough to say, you need Jesus. And they didn't relent until I accepted Jesus. And now look, I'm a new person. You're a new person. Because someone loved you enough. But here we go. Here we go. Yeah, you know, Queen Esther, go defend your family. And then we're going, well, what are you doing for your family? Well, that's different, Pastor. Really? She could die. She could die. And you're upset because you might not get invited to the next birthday party. I can't come over on Thanksgiving if I stand up for Jesus. Matthew 10:32 says this, if you confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians 9:16, for woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Or how about Romans 10:15? like this. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. I'll tell you, I must have gorgeous feet. I don't. They're spiritually gorgeous, okay? But what is your request? What is your request for your family? Are you broken? Are you weeping? Would you drop to your face? Would you cry like a dog that is in such pain that nothing can satiate that? Verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day." Doesn't that sound familiar? 3 days and three nights? Yeah, okay. "My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Wow. I love this girl. I love her heart. You gotta love. God loves her heart. That's why God put her in that position. Because he knew no one else would do this but Esther. Esther says, "Listen, if I don't say something, I may die. If I do say something, I may die. But either way, eventually I'm gonna die. Isn't that the truth? We're all going to die. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to believe it. But it's going to happen. Now, how about we go out in a blaze of glory, in a blaze of God's glory? Because we can't keep our mouth shut about his glory, about how great he is, about how awesome he is, how much he loves people that we love. And not care about, well, it's going to upset them. I'm not saying go and be offensive. I'm saying go and love them enough to let them know you care about their eternity, about their eternal life. Might as well die, Esther's saying, might as well die doing the right thing. Right? In a way, it's kind of like a sinner. Do you realize every sinner has two options, pardon or punish? You can either be pardoned by God or you can be punished by God. Either way, we're all going to have to deal with God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, every one of your relatives, every one of your friends will go and deal with God. Just some of them are going to go, why didn't Randy tell me? I was like, I did tell you. You kept getting mad at me because I told you. This is true for everyone. Listen, including those in your family. Life is a one-way street. There's no U-turns. There's no do-overs. You don't get yesterday back. You only have tomorrow to look forward to. And listen, I know there are times in my life when I was like, I should have said something. And God goes, maybe you should have. But now, that's past. Stop looking back and look forward. Who can you tell today who's in front of you? Start making requests for their salvation. You say you love these people in your life. Are you making requests for their salvation? I hope you are. Because we're going to see that all this prayer, it works. It's going to work. It always does. Just not on their timing. Listen, you think for a moment Mordecai wanted to be in sackcloth and ashes, looking like a fool, putting ash in that suit on and crying out like a big baby out in the middle of the street? He didn't want to do that. He just had no other option. I'm sure he wished that never happened, but sometimes God will take us through the difficulties to get us to do the right things in our reaction. Verse 17, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all Esther had commanded him. What did Esther command him? To go tell the Jews that want to live that they should fast and pray. That they should fast. So Uncle Morty has a national fast for the Jews. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes I ask people if they know how to fast. And they'll go, yeah, you just don't eat any food. That's not it. Listen, you can fast over a lot of things. You can fast from food. That's a good one. You can fast from TV. That can be a good one. Maybe you smoke cigarettes. You can fast from smoking cigarettes. I suggest that, by the way, fasting from cigarettes would be a good way to learn how to stop smoking cigarettes. How about that? You start with a fast and you end with a bang. Okay. Here's another thing that kind of hit. Some of us can fast from playing video games. That's my outlet, okay? I don't watch sports. I save the world. That's what I do. One level at a time. Here's the idea of a fast. Take something that is valuable to you, that you love to do or love to have a part of your life, and say, I'm going to abstain from it. The harder the item is to abstain, the greater and the more power to the fast. Now, here's the thing, though. It's not just abstaining from it. Like, sometimes I have some say, so you're fasting. Oh, yeah, I haven't eaten or watched TV in 48 hours. Wow. So, man, I bet you're having some prayer, some powerful prayer and Bible time. Oh, no. I'm too busy, because if I stop being busy, I think about being hungry or I start watching TV. No, that's not what it's about. It's not about just abstaining. It's about replacing that time that you would have been watching TV, that time that you would have been feeding your mouth, and instead you feed your spirit with the Word of God, and you spend time in communion with God, talking to God, listening to God. If all you do is stop eating, then you're on a diet. You're not fasting. If all you're doing is not watching TV, then you're actually just being productive and you're not wasting time. But if you replace that time that you, every time, I tell people, when you're fasting from food, every time you have that hunger pang, read your Bible, feast on the Word. It's milk, it's honey, it's water, it's meat. The Bible is called all kind of food things. You ever notice that? It's a whole meal. So I find that I fast every now and then, and I'll do like an 8-hour fast or a 12-hour fast. And sometimes I'll do a 24. It's been a while since I've done a 24. But I'll do a 12-hour fast. And what I'll do is I'll read every time I get hungry. But here's what happens. The last prayer session of a fast, wow. I'm usually crying, and I feel so close, and I feel light, and I drive straight to Taco Bell and stuff my face. And then I regret it. But look at this. Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So here you go. You got a whole nation. First, you got one uncle who refuses to bow and honor God instead of honoring men. Even though now there's a death threat on he and all of the Israelite, he still honors God, not honors men. He tells the queen, and she's now ready to lay her life down for her people. And now we got all the people fasting and praying, including Esther and her servants. Check that out. She's teaching her servants. Some of her servants are probably Persian, and she's being a witness to them. And they're about to see God's hand move. When you and I, brothers and sisters, stand up for God and don't waver, we oftentimes are leading other people who aren't saved. They go, wow, what a witness. Look at their faith. It's real faith. And then God goes, so I'm going to bring real blessing. Bazoo. Because we're going to see it. It's amazing. We're not going to see it today, but it's amazing how it transpires. Next week, pretty cool. But let me do this. Remember, I started off with Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. I want to end with Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. But now, in light of what we've talked about, I want you to hear it in a new light. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's that humble brokenness. With thanksgiving, God, I know you're going to come through. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Let your requests be made known to God. Sometimes we make our requests made known to man, and then letting God know is kind of an afterthought. We got to reverse that, folks. If you don't let anyone know except God, that's all you need. Too often we let everyone know except God. And that's why we have no answered prayer. That's why we struggle over and over with anxiety, with worry, with fear. And sometimes it becomes debilitating because we're so caught up in it. When God says, no, 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 bring it to me with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and I will give you peace, because you're going to know that I'm going to come through for you. So my question is tonight, what is your request? And how are you making it? And to whom are you making it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome, awesome story that we know is true. Lord, it's historical. It's true. It's fact. And so, Lord, we thank you that you've laced lessons for us all through your word. And Lord, I pray that each one of us not just hear it, but apply it and live it. And thank you. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who are in earshot, whether it be here in the room or there online, that, Father, that we would truly, truly sort out where we stand with you. Father God, that we would truly, truly trust where you stand with us. That's so much better, Lord. And, Father, that you have given us victory already if we would just make our requests be made known to the living, loving God who is always faithful, who is good all the time, and all the time you're good. Father, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you need prayer tonight because you've been struggling and you haven't been trusting, listen, come and pray. They'll help you with it. Also, don't forget that after worship that we could use some help getting the chairs all together and out of the room. The rest of us, let's stand and sing one last song unto the Lord from our heart. In Jesus' name.